As a dietitian and intuitive eating counselor, one of the main symptoms people who reach out to me report is constantly thinking about food. So they report that food is always on their mind and it's taking over from all the other things they want to experience and focus on. They feel obsessive around food and they just want to feel normal. If you relate to this, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. There is a reason that this has developed. And it's possible to reduce the food thoughts so you can have the headspace for other areas of life. So I want to walk through some common reasons why this happens. And if you relate to any of these reasons, I will provide some gentle ideas or some direction you can take to stop thinking about food all the time. So you're listening to the Food and Life Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Emma Townsend, a UK registered dietitian and a certified intuitive eating counselor. I support you to move away from lifelong dieting and feeling stressed with food to develop a positive relationship with food and connection with your body. And as a reminder, we are all unique. So please use this opportunity to learn and explore. But if something does not sit with you, then it's not meant for your unique self. And if you have any health concerns or you're worried you have an eating disorder, please seek personalized support from your registered healthcare provider. So let's jump in to explore what to do when you can't stop thinking about food. It's really normal and human to think about food periodically through the day, such as before a meal or when you start to get hungry again. That's just our body's natural hunger communication. But if you're thinking about food constantly throughout the day, then it's not a normal response and your body is trying to communicate something with you. Food thoughts can sometimes be referred to as food noise. So when the food noise is really loud and constant, it takes over our other thoughts and what we are able to focus on. It can show up in different ways, such as constant worrying about what you've already eaten, continuous mental planning of what food you will eat later to meet an idealized food goal, constantly thinking about food when trying to be involved in other activities such as work or conversation with friends, thinking maybe specifically just about your off-limits foods, such as not allowing or feeling like it's bad to eat cookies, and then all your thoughts constantly go towards cookies. Things like calorie counting, macros tracking, or calculating your daily intake or allowance, and also thoughts about burning off calories, for example, through exercise. However, food thoughts show up for you, it is mentally exhausting and takes up space that you deserve to have filled with other things, such as relationships, hobbies, friends, work, holidays, and everything else. What is normal and a healthy way of functioning is when food is periodically on your mind. So it pops up, or you get a craving, or you feel like something at intervals throughout the day. And after eating, the food thoughts go away for a while until you're next hungry again. And that's because food thoughts are just a normal hunger signal from your body to let you know that it needs food and to direct your behavior towards getting food. You might have days where food thoughts are more frequent, like maybe you are hungrier that day, but it's still not all the time and it's not preventing you from engaging in other areas of life. So I want to walk through some of the reasons you might be experiencing obsessive food thoughts and some gentle ideas or suggestions if you do relate to any of these. Firstly, and by far the most common reason that you might experience a lot of food thoughts is simply that you are not eating enough. It's so common that I hear, but I am eating enough because I'm eating X amount of calories. And I completely understand this thinking because we live in a world that tells you you can use an equation to work out what you should eat. And it drives me insane that we are surrounded by such harmful messages and ideals that draw us away from our own body. And they make us distrust our own body in place of some arbitrary number from some equation. Because there's no equation or calculation or magic number that can know how much you need to eat in any given moment, on any given day, on any given week. So firstly, your body's needs change constantly. Your body is not a robot or like a closed system of calories in, calories out. Your body is always adjusting. It adjusts based on the movement you do. It adjusts based on how much energy your brain is using that day. It adjusts based on your immune system and how active it is fighting off infection, for example. It adjusts based on heart rate and stress and sleep pattern and so much more. It also adjusts based on how much you are eating. So if you have eaten less one day, it might just need more the next day. If you're chronically eating less than you need, such as dieting, your body will adjust to, well, firstly make you hungry to try get more food, but it will also adjust to require less energy. And this is what we often hear as slowing your metabolism down. The only way we can accurately nourish our bodies is when we are using our own body as our number one guide. Because it is still okay to draw on some outside knowledge, but this outside knowledge should always be supportive. It should never take over and it should never come before what our own body is telling us. And calorie recommendations are arbitrary and overwhelmingly provide calorie goals that are not supportive for a human body to function at its best. So if you're on a diet or you're using food rules or calorie tracking to determine how much you need to eat, it's really, really likely that you're simply not eating enough. If you relate to this, but you don't really know how to listen to your hunger and fullness and nourish your body without rules, this is something you can learn. My gentle advice to start focusing is to start focusing on eating consistently and eating enough rather than a certain number of calories, or rather than the focus on eating as little as possible or just choosing low calorie foods, for example. So having regular food through the day and making this a priority rather than trying to skip meals or thinking it's better to skip meals. Having meals that contain high energy foods as well as maybe lower energy foods, for example. It's not a rule, but maybe a meal will be something like pasta with a creamy sauce and then chicken or some kind of protein and vegetables, rather than just the chicken and vegetables, which does not give your body that energy that it needs. Allowing snacks that contain energy for your body, as the main purpose of a snack is to provide energy for your brain and body. But so often I see snacks marketed as only X amount of calories and low calorie. That's not what our body needs from a snack. So of course, we're going to still be thinking about food. And giving yourself permission to eat to true satisfaction. So having foods you actually feel like rather than what you quote unquote should eat. If you do feel your hunger, but maybe you're trying to ignore it or feel like you're always trying to trick it, can you start to trust that your hunger is communicating hunger because your body needs food, and focus on satisfying your hunger rather than and ignoring it or tricking it? And just get curious about how that feels. So this really is the number one step to stop thinking about food. Until we are eating enough, we don't really know what, if there is another cause to why we can't stop thinking about food. The next reason that you might be thinking about foods a lot of the time is that you're mentally restricting foods. So for example, do you have foods you never allow in the house for a fear of like out of control eating them or feeling out of control around them? Do you tell yourself you will never eat that food again, only to find yourself thinking about that food all the time? So having these like banned or off limits foods or calling foods like bad is mental restriction. So even if you end up still eating the food, if you eat it with a sense of guilt or shame, or I won't be eating this food again for X days or X weeks, for example, your body still perceives this as restriction, which is stressful for the body, and it will fight against this by driving you to think about and crave that food. And when a food is mentally restricted like this, you will often end up eating it in larger amounts when you do eat it. So if your food thoughts are more around some specific foods you make off limits, or that you perceive these specific foods as bad, then it may be this mental restriction that's causing your food thoughts. To stop constantly thinking about the crisps or the cookies or the pasta or whatever it is that's perceived as bad, you need to stop the mental restriction of food. An activity I invite you to try if you feel safe is to choose a food that is off limits and give yourself full permission to eat it. So that means allowing it in the house in enough quantity that it's not restricted. Tell yourself that you are now allowed whatever portion size you like and as often as you like. At first, you may find yourself eating it more often or in larger quantities. This is your body like bouncing back from restriction and needing time to develop trust. It's not a sign you can't be trusted around the food. And over time, this food will stop having so much power over you. If this feels particularly challenging, I would recommend reaching out for support from a certified intuitive eating counselor such as myself, as there may be more to explore alongside or more support needed to truly stop their mental restriction. The reason number three that food might be on your mind a lot of the time is that you think of food as good and bad. So if you find yourself using these moralistic terms to describe food, such as good and bad or healthy and unhealthy, this can trigger obsessive food thoughts. So it may seem innocent enough because it's so normalized and common in our society, but it doesn't make it right or supportive. Our world really does encourage disordered thoughts and behaviors around food, but by recognizing this, we can break the cycle for ourselves. So when we label foods like this, we create a food hierarchy in our minds. The bad or the unhealthy foods become more appealing than the good and the healthy foods. So your brain then craves for the foods that are perceived as bad. There was a study from 2007 by a researcher called Janssen, and the study is called Don't Eat the Red Food, Prohibition of Snacks Leads to Higher Consumption in Children. And as the title suggests, they had two groups of children giving them food to eat at will. Then half of them were given restriction around the red foods and the other half weren't. And what was found was when they were presented with these foods again, with the half of them having restriction, those in the group that had certain foods restricted ate more in total and had more desire for the specific food that was restricted, while the children without any restriction had no change in the amount eaten or desired. And what I have witnessed as well in my clients I support in my courses or working one-to-one with me is sometimes they later realize that they don't even like some of the foods that they couldn't stop thinking about. So this is not our goal. It's not to not like these foods anymore, but it's that we have the space to truly explore how food feels and we can eat what we truly enjoy. So if you spend a lot of your time thinking about foods that you perceive as bad or unhealthy, I invite you to start changing the language you use around food. So get curious, like notice and just catch these thoughts or the terms that you use around food when they come up, and see if you can use some more neutral terms instead. So instead of things like this food is a treat, this food is guilty, this food is bad, this food is unhealthy, try neutral terms such as this food is creamy, this food is sweet, this food is savory, this food is fun, this food is yummy, this food is full of like connection or memories. Or my favorite, just call it what it is. So instead of saying, oh, I'm craving this bad food, try, I'm feeling like a donut. So the fourth reason I want to explore is there may be some emotional triggers around food. It's really normal for food to provide comfort and a sense of safety and for food to be emotional. It's normal to use food for emotional purposes. But if you do have some deeper or recurring emotional discomfort or emotional dysregulation, sometimes food might become a bigger source of comfort than is actually helpful long term. It can stop you being able to explore the emotion and to then get the support you need and deserve. And it may lead to eating in a way that feels maybe disconnected or uncomfortable. So if you feel that there might be an emotional element to your food noise, it's really important not to jump into like blaming the food and into avoiding or removing the food, because this food is likely your coping tool, and removing that coping tool can exacerbate both the emotional discomfort and the thoughts you have toward food. So instead, try acknowledging the resilience of your body to find a coping tool, because food is completely valid. And maybe you can explore what else your body needs, starting with outside of this emotional moment. So before looking at just that moment, most of the triggers for that moment are coming from what's happening in the rest of our world or in our environment beforehand. So start by exploring things like, are you eating enough? That was the first reason for experiencing a lot of food thoughts. So are you eating enough? How's your sleep? How's your stress? Are you resting your body in a way that feels comfortable? Are you moving your body in a way that feels comfortable? Are you allowing yourself enough alone time, enough connection time with other people? And I know not all of these things we can just say, I'm consciously going to change it. Sometimes things are also out of our control, but maybe there's some little steps that you can take towards some of these. And sometimes taking the focus and blame off food, off that eating experience, taking that morality away, can give some more space to focus on these things that will truly support you. Then in the moment when your body is in a stress response and you're not able to think clearly, which is really normal when your body is in this fight or flight or this stress response, it's not saying, oh, rational brain, what should I do? No, it's saying I need to get to safety right now. It's really normal that you can't think clearly. But is there anything in that moment that might be able to bring you back out of this stress response just a little bit, bring back in this calmer nervous system state, even just so that you're able to be more maybe mindful of the moment, depending, no matter what coping tool you choose to use? So exercises such as breathing exercises can activate the like rest and digest part of our nervous system. So breathing exercises means that you take, there's different ways, but a kind of more like easier one to start with can be taking through the nose, long, deep breaths in for about 5 to 6 seconds, down deep into your lungs and concentrating on feeling your abdomen expand. So all the way down, not these shallow ones that are up in our chest here, all the way down. And then again, slow, long, deep breaths back out, maybe noticing the breath travel back up and out through your nose. Aiming for about, if you can, 5 to 6 seconds in, 5 to 6 seconds out. And that can help to start to activate that rest and digest mode. And you might be able to access some more rational thought or just be more attuned with the moment. Other things might be like going for a gentle walk just for 5 or 10 minutes. It might be listening to music, playing some kind of game or some kind of distraction as well can sometimes be helpful. So is there anything that might be helpful to add to a list of tools that you have available? So this might be writing down. So right now it might be food that's on your list of tools that are available in this moment. Maybe writing some other things down. Maybe it's breathing, maybe it's walking, maybe it's calling a friend, whatever might be helpful. And this can be a list that you might be able to draw on in an emotional moment. And just to clarify here, the goal is not to stop you eating. Food is not bad in this moment. Food is not the problem. If food is the coping tool you need, that is perfectly fine. It's more to understand the experience that you're having so you're better equipped to find coping tools that are actually supportive. And if food is what supports you and is needed in that moment, then maybe you're able to eat it with more attunement to the experience, and then you're able to get more pleasure and comfort and satisfaction from the food as well. I do explore emotional eating a lot more in my emotional eating course. So if you relate to this, that may be a good option. And of course, reaching out for therapy support as well is a great tool if you're able to access it. So reason number five that you might be thinking about food a lot of the time is if you're disconnected from your body. So your body is your most accurate guide to get your needs met. This includes food, but also self-care and your emotional needs. But really sadly, we are often taught to distrust our bodies. If you are not attuned with and have this trust in your body's eating signals, then you will be relying on societal information, which is diet culture. This societal information we get around food is filled with guilt and shame. And you'll be relying on this to guide your eating and other self-care, which is usually not supportive as our number one guide. And when we're not able to filter out information that is helpful and information that isn't, we are all absolutely unique in what our body needs. There's no way, no one else can feel what you feel inside your body. So there's no way that anyone else can ever know what you need in that moment. So this outside information, this societal information, these food rules, these diets, these ideals, they will never be completely accurate for your body. So for example, if your body is trying to tell you it is hungry, but you are not eating, your brain will keep thinking about food. This will happen even if you just ate the portion size that your meal plan told you to, because your body does not care what some arbitrary rule around food says you should eat. That rule does not know how much your body or how much energy your body is using for all of the amazing processes that go on inside your body. We can just never fathom everything our body does. And it makes me really sad and frustrated to see all the blame and shame that comes from these simplified calories in, calories out models and equations that tell us it's just physical movement that we need to consider, and we can like burn off calories with movement. Like, our bodies don't work like that. Fighting against our bodies makes absolutely no medical sense. And I'm sorry that you and I and everyone have been made to believe that. And either we've stayed stuck there fighting with our body, or we've had to put in a lot of work to stop thinking of our bodies as these simplified robots. You deserve 100% to work with your body to get your needs met and to not feel guilt over trying to follow some arbitrary number based on some weight shaming and food ideals. If working with your body seems like a long way off, or you just don't know how, then intuitive eating really is an amazing framework that can support you to reconnect with your body, to remove things like the stress and the guilt around food, and to support your body image, and just to generally feel good in your body. I have an ebook called 5 Steps to Get Started with Intuitive Eating, which can be a nice tool to learn more about it and just to start working with your body. So do feel free to grab that free resource. To wrap up though, thinking about food periodically through the day is really, really normal and healthy. Thinking about food all of the time likely indicates there's something going on to cause a lot of your headspace to turn towards food. And the most common reason for thinking about food all the time is just not eating enough food throughout the day or overall in general. And it may be because you are dieting, you're following a calorie amount, or you're disconnected from your hunger signals. Other reasons might be like mental restriction and this good, bad, black and white thinking of foods, or emotional triggers, and just generally feeling disconnected from your body. That includes around food, but also around our emotional needs and our self-care needs as well. You can quieten the food thoughts, but to do this, you need to let go of food rules and food ideals and start working with the body. It's really not easy in a society that encourages disordered eating behaviors, but it really is possible to break free of following these rules and to find that connection with your body again, and for food to not be taking over your life and on your mind all the time. So do feel free to reach out for more support or just recommendations on where to start as well. It's been so lovely to share this episode with you today. For more support and information, including articles, free resources, online courses, and individualized support, you can visit my home on the internet at foodlifefreedom.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review on the podcast platform you use, and feel free to use the three-dot symbol to share with anyone who may find this episode helpful. If you have a question or topic you would love to have covered on the podcast, I would love to hear from you.